Good afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Sitting in there trying to figure out who to blame when I go to sleep. Could blame Paul because he was in there yawning earlier. Could blame my Labrador for getting me up again at 6:30. She does it every morning. I don't know why. Just Saturday morning is just kind of nice to sleep a little while. Could blame it on the Bassmaster Classic. Still recovering from that one. Palmetto Sportsman's Classic, which was last weekend. You know, poor, and then the NAS tournament this weekend, Sumter, the state tournament. Poor Department of Natural Resources, man. They have had three weekends in a little over 2 weeks. Man, they have just been pounded. I'm sure they're all ready for spring break, vacations, whatever else is coming up week. It's been a busy few weeks here in South Carolina. I hope you've had a chance to get out and get to some of the things that have been going on. There's a lot, and I'm going to add to it because I got a good calendar of events. I've kind of, with everything going on, I've kind of not done a good calendar here lately, but I've got a long one, so I'm going to get right into it. But if we don't get to it in the last segment, there's a full moon. Space station is going to crash in somewhere between the 43rd north and the 43rd south. The final four is tonight. Live PD is not live, so you don't have to worry about that. Goodness, just lots of stuff going on. I'll try to get some of that. There's a Labrador that rescued a guy whose boat capsized down in Beaufort. There's just all sorts of things going on. But anyway, like I said, I'm going to do a good calendar, so bear with me. It's going to be a good one. A lot of stuff in it. As always, it's brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing and Event Center, which did a great job on the Classic. Wow, 143,000 people. And I've heard some people say we missed about 6,000 or 7,000. Could have been up to 150. But anyway, did a great job with the Classic. So here it comes. You ready? If you're 15 to 18 and you want to work outside this summer, then the U.S. Forest Service wants you. They're Youth Conservation Corps. You can send in your application. Application deadline is April the 11th. It's an 8-week program from June the 11th to August the 3rd. Man, what an opportunity to get outside and work. You get trail maintenance, recreation management, timber marking, leave no trace education, firewise education. What a fun summer. I think you get paid here. I'm sure you get paid. But anyway, if you're interested, go to, US is fs.fed.us, working with us, opportunities for young people, Youth Conservation Corps opportunities, or you can call the Andrew Pickens Ranger District in Mountain Rest, South Carolina. So anyway, like I said, 15 to 18, come work with the U.S. Forest Service this summer, Youth Conservation Corps, great opportunity to get outside, especially if you're interested in a career and something like this. Good way to get your, I would say your feet wet, but in the summertime in South Carolina, you're going to get all wet. It's going to be hot out there, but a good one. If you're into ATV riding, the NRE OHV trail is open. It opens officially April 1st every year. So it's Rolling Hills, the Piedmont Pine Forest with interconnecting loops. Riders have an opportunity to plan rides of varying lengths. Trail is only managed for all-terrain vehicles and dirt bikes. Jeeps, Hummers, and other 4x4 vehicles are not allowed on the trails. Maximum ATV width for the trail to accommodate is 50 inches. They got gravel parking lots, loading, unloading ramps. Chandler's Law applies to ATV riders in South Carolina. Please review the law here, and it gives a link to the Alt-Terrain Vehicle Safety Act, Chandler's Law. Haven't read that one, but anyway. $5 a day or $50 per person for the season is what you pay for the pass. There are one-way trails marked, everything is, it's really good. If you're interested in more of this, the Francis and Marion and Sumter National Forest website is where you need to go, and you can print maps, guides, look at the trail rules and all that. But if you're into that, then this is an opportunity for you to see. A few golden rules of ATV safety. Always wear a DOT-compliant helmet, goggles, long sleeves, long pants, over-the-ankle boots and gloves. Never ride under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Never carry a passenger, a single rider, OHV ATV, and no more than one passenger on an OHV ATV specifically designed for two people. Ride one that's right for your age. Supervise riders younger than 16. Ride only on designated trails and at a safe speed. Take a hands-on rider course and the free course online. Visit atvsafety.org and take your course. So anyway, there you go. There's another thing for you four-wheeler people out there. April the 5th, 2018, 9 to 2 in Eastover, South Carolina, DNR Youth Turkey Clinic. Ages 10 to 17, it's a hands-on clinic. These are good. I've been to a couple of them. Space is limited to 25 youth and a parent. So you need to email copek@dnr.sc.gov, or you can go to the Department of Natural Resources website or the youth, I believe it's up on the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources Take One, Make One page to get involved in one in the turkey clinic. It's free. So need to go do that. Friday, April the 6th and 7th, Hub City Hog Fest. We haven't done any foodie stuff in a while. So this is, let's see, a barbecue event to benefit Mobile Meals of Spartanburg will take place April 6th and 7th. The city of Spartanburg will block off several roads downtown around Morgan Square to accommodate the dozens of cook teams that will compete in the annual barbecue competition. On Friday, April 6th, entrance in the event from noon to 5 is free. After 5, wristbands must be purchased for $5 each. On Saturday from noon to 11 p.m., $5 wristbands must be purchased. Children 10 and under are admitted free. There will be chicken wing samples from the competition teams available Friday night between 6 and 8. The samples of the competition team's barbecue and ribs are only available from noon to 2 on Saturday. So, but vendors will be selling barbecue all weekend. Hog bucks must be used to purchase food from vendors and to sample barbecue. And it's a great cause. Mobile Meals of Spartanburg. Hub City Hog Fest, April 6th, 7th. Spartanburg River Suite. This is the Tiger River Suite. Got this off the Lake Coulee Outdoor Education Center's Facebook page. Mark your calendars for Saturday, April 7th. It's the Tiger River Suite. We need your help keeping our local waterways clean so we can all enjoy them. We'll meet you here at the Lake Coulee Outdoor Education Center at 9 a.m. Volunteers will get a T-shirt and lunch will be provided. Please let us know you're coming by going to SpartanburgParks.org and signing up. See you on April 7th. So here, this is an opportunity to give back to the outdoors. I thought this was pretty cool. Shoestring Bird Dog Club, member of AFTCA. April 7th and 8th is a walk-in field trial. The grounds are the Jim Scott Farm at 255 Scott Road in Honey Pass, South Carolina. They're going to be drawing for braces on April the 5th. Open puppy, if you want to run something, it's $25. Open shooting dogs, $40. Amateur shooting is $40. And open derby is $40. You can get a hold of Sonia Kramer. Email remarksonya@gmail.com or go to the Carolina Pointing Dogs Association website or Facebook page. But if you're interested in bird dogs, this is a perfect opportunity. You don't have to have a horse. I mean, a lot of trials are horseback trials. You got to have a horse to follow along the gallery. This is a walking trial. It'd be a really fun one to go to. Lots of memories from bird hunting. Let's see. What is this? Conserving Carolina Parks and Recreation, the lead Palmetto Trail hike, April the 13th. Join Conserving Carolina and Polk County Parks and Recreation on Friday, April 13th for an approximately 10-mile moderate hike along the Palmetto Trail from Orchard Lake Campground Trailhead to the Blue Wall Preserve. Hike will follow the Palmetto Trail on the state line along the northern perimeter of the Greenville Watershed, down Brushy Ridge, along Hogback Mountain Road, down Vaughn's Gap, and then the Blue Wall Preserve. The Greenville Watershed is one of the most significant wilderness areas in South Carolina and a unique natural habitat for the Greenville Water System. It was built in the 50s and carefully protected since, except for those who like to sneak in there and go bass fishing or turkey hunting. They do have a shuttle, 35 passengers. Pre-registration is required to guarantee a seat on the bus. Conserving Carolina Southeast Office, 828-697-5777, extension 300. Or go to conservingcarolina.org and get more information. And that's not all. I told you I had a good one this week. So anyway, I'll try to get back to the others on the other side. Maybe on the last break. Because there's more. Gosh, there's always more. Anyway, that's just a few things to get you started. Like I said, I'll try to circle back around and finish it up. In the meantime, hang on, because when we come back, we're going to talk to Pete Rogers. Say you want to hunt turkeys.
Make a bad one good.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Busy day. Busy day. We're going to kick it off because I got my buddy Pete Rogers on, who's coming from his slice of heaven somewhere down in the low country, South Carolina. How are you, Pete?
I'm doing well, Roger. How about yourself?
I'm good. Hey, before we get into your book and all that, how'd you like the Bassmaster Classic?
It was different, exciting, and I'm really glad that I went.
And you picked the winner. The winner on Media Day Thursday. You picked your winner, Jordan Lee.
I did. When I talked to Jordan, and he told me what his game plan was, having fished Hartwell as much as I have, I thought that's a really good approach. And if he's able to capitalize on that, then he should really have a good chance. And he ended up pulling it off.
He did. Pretty amazing tournament. Yeah. Glad you got to go. I enjoyed hanging out with you a little bit. We did on Thursday, and you know, next time it comes back, we'll have to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Hey, your book is here. It's out. You've had your hands on it. People are buying it. So you want to hunt turkeys?
Yes. Yeah, they finally came in. I'm very pleased with it. Very pleased with it. Five Valley Press out of Montana is publishing it. And, I got, some copies in the other day that I, am signing and numbering for a limited edition sale.
Okay.
They're selling for $30 each.
All right.
And you can, reach me on my website at progersoutdoors@gmail.com and, contact me that way. And I'd be glad to put a signed copy in your hands.
You've been writing for a long time now. How long you been doing the article type writing?
19 years now.
How many books have you done over 19 years?
This is my third one.
Third one.
Yeah, this is my third book. Yeah. I've done over 1,500 magazine articles. And this is my third book. So.
In this book, you were telling me it's a little bit of how to, but it's a lot of stories.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, there's a lot of how-to books out there, and a lot of people like those. That's why I included several chapters on some tips and tactics.
Okay.
But it's mostly about why we hunt turkeys. Actually, the very first chapter is called Why Turkeys, and it's about from the legends of old, Archibald Rutledge and Colonel Tom Kelly and some of their writings, some of the comments that they made, that what is it about the wild turkey that captivates so many people and causes so many people to just, you know, work so hard to kill a bird. And, you know, there's so many people out there that, the wild turkey just kind of gets under their skin, and it's really hard to put into words what it is about that that does it, but it does. I know it has me, and it has a lot of people, and I was able to take my son hunting this morning. We had gobblers everywhere. We called in two. They couldn't get quite close enough.
Yeah.
In order to kill them, but we had a really good show with goblin and strutting, and it was really, really good show. So. Yeah, but the book is, like I said, a lot of the chapters are more about the why we hunt turkeys, and then there's about half of them on how to hunt turkeys.
All right. Tell me then, in a couple of minutes here, why do we hunt turkeys? I mean, I've turkey hunted, okay? I mean, it was fun. I enjoyed getting up there. I mean, it's springtime, man. The woods are alive early. Things are greening up. It's kind of warm and all, but I don't know. I just never got bit by the turkey bug. So why am I not just a diehard turkey hunter?
You know, I can't really answer that because it doesn't make any sense to me, Roger. I mean, for me and for a lot of other guys and gals out there, when there's nothing like the sound of a turkey gobble in the eastern hardwoods, the way that it echoes through and from dawn on. And when you can make a call on your slate or box or diaphragm and he responds, I think there's just something about being able to communicate with animals and get them to respond in a way that you want them to, that really excites a lot of people. I know it does me. I was telling my son this morning, this is why I love it, because when I would yelp on my slate, he would just go crazy. and you could just hear him getting closer and closer and closer. And finally we got to where we could see him. But at the same time, right when you think you have these turkeys figured out, they let you know real quick that you're a long way from figuring them out. A long way there. Some people say they're ultra paranoid. Some people say that they're really smart. I think it's a combination of both. 2-year-old turkeys are probably the most vocal and the easiest to kill.
Okay.
Because they're the most vocal. 3-year-old, 4-year-old turkeys are very, very difficult to kill. They've been around a long time in the woods. There's a lot of things trying to kill them. And, as I say in the book, a 4-year-old turkey spends the entire, what we call off season, learning his territory. He okay. knows every hen in those, in his, you know, 500 acre area.
Okay.
He knows every voice of every hen. And so when we sit down and we try to call him, he's like, I don't recognize that voice. You know? And so I think where a lot of people make a mistake is we try to mimic hens instead of impersonate hens.
Okay.
You know, like an impersonator who can sound exactly like a famous person.
Okay.
You know, if we can sound like the hens he's used to hearing, then we have a chance of killing them. If we just sound like another turkey, we don't have a prayer to kill a, to kill an old mature button gobbler. And it's that challenge that I think really excites people.
In the book, how many chapters, how many pages?
It's 20 chapters. 19 chapters.
Okay.
And you think I would know the answer to that.
Right? I was expecting that.
There's been a lot of changes to it right there at the end.
So, okay.
And it's, I think, 127 pages is what it come is what it ended up coming out to. It's a hardback edition.
Hardback, which I love hardback books.
Yeah, with a dust jacket. It's a linen-bound hardback with a dust jacket. And I took all the pictures for the book and did all the writing for it. So I'm a little excited about having the photography and the writing for it. So, and like I said, there's some how-to tips for people who want that, that cover an array of topics from how to archery hunt for turkeys to hunting them in the middle of the day to hunting them in the afternoon to, you know, how to pattern your shotgun. There's a lot of different tips and tactics in there, but there's also more of the why that we actually do it. So I'm excited about it. It seems to be being received really well. So we'll just see how it does.
Very good. The heart stories are what you and I like so much. The stories that kind of suck you in.
Yes, very much. That's what I like reading and what I like writing about.
Yeah.
It's the intangible reason that we're out there. You know, as much as I love turkey hunting, I don't turkey hunt just to kill turkeys.
Sure.
I turkey hunt, to see the sunrise, to hear them gobble, to watch them strut, to be out there in the spring woods and just to experience all of what God has created. It's an awesome opportunity to be out there.
Now, for somebody that's just starting out turkey hunting, do we have to worry about ticks and chiggers and snakes this early in the year?
You know, like this year, it was 42 degrees this morning. We didn't have any, mosquitoes and there's no ticks out yet. As the season progresses and it starts to get warm, yes, you do have, opportunities for those. And that's where the thermocell comes in handy to
sure.
get rid of all the mosquitoes. And I like to spray around my boots to keep ticks off and so forth. I've personally never had a whole lot of trouble with snakes during turkey season. I know, but there's something to always be cognizant of, though, as it warms up and they start to come out.
In the book, what's your favorite chapter if you had to pick one?
The first one, why turkeys.
Why turkeys.
Yep.
Start off with the best, right?
Yeah, that's, pretty much, yeah. try to capture them right from the beginning, yeah.
Very good.
That's my favorite one.
Very good. So it's $30. You can get it through Pete Rogers Outdoors. It comes in the Kindle version too, right?
It does. The Kindle version's out, and it'll be available on Amazon. The hardback version will be available on Amazon, I think, this coming week is when everything will be finalized on that. But the Kindle version is available right now.
Very nice. Hardback cover, linen pages. You took all the pictures, did all the writing. A lot of work in it, wasn't it?
It really was. It really was, but it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed doing it, and having gone through this process, I think I'll be putting together several more books in the coming years. I enjoyed it a lot.
Really great. Good. Well, I hope everybody out there likes turkey hunting. If you know somebody likes turkey hunting, Pete Rogers Outdoors is the place to go. It. You heard right from the guy himself here on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Pete, thanks for doing it. Hey, if I can, get me a copy, sign it. I'll run up to the house and pick it up one night, and I'll pay you for it.
That'd be awesome. You don't have to pay me for it, but I appreciate it, Roger, and thank you for having me on. and having the chance to talk about it. I really do appreciate it.
Yes, sir, Pete. Looking forward to reading it. And, you know, hey, maybe the first chapter will reach out and grab me and I'll become a turkey hunter.
I hope so.
Okay. Hope so. Well, good luck turkey hunting this weekend, and happy Easter to you, my friend.
Thank you. Same to you, Roger.
Yes, sir.
Take care.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, there you go. Pete started writing this book a while back, and I've been keeping track of it, and we've talked about it over the past few months, and he's had a lot of fun doing it. I'm looking forward to reading it. Like I said, I don't know. Maybe it's genetic defect. I love duck hunting. I mean, give me a duck call and a bunch of ducks, and I'll just go nuts. And I think it's the same way with turkeys. Could be the wrong time of the year for me. That comes into play with the springtime. But I hope you will. If you know somebody that turkey hunts, tell them about the book. Pete's a great guy, South Carolina native. You know, I think it'll be a collector's item, especially the hardback version. And I look forward to getting mine. So let's see. Got about a minute. Well, okay. Let's do something. Let's do this. QDMA, April 13th, Mid Carolina Branch, 10th Annual Big Buck Showcase. Friday, April 13th, doors open at 6, dinner at 7, location, the Friend Building on 901 Friend Street, Newberry, South Carolina. Tickets, 50 single, 75 couple, youth, 25. You can get a table. Your contact is Tyler Turner or Aaron Sheely. And I tell you, the easiest place to do this stuff is just to go to the QDMA website, find events in your state, and you can find a whole list of all the banquets the Quality Deer Management Association has on. I saw Rick Counts twice over the past week. This is his region. He was at the Palmetto Sportsman Classic. He was at the NAS tournament because they gave out some scholarships. So hope you get involved in a quality organization like QDMA. All right, hang on through the break. We're going to talk to Allison Rout with CPW and the Lions Club about their fishing tournament coming up 2 weeks.
My feelings, girl, don't cry and tell me nothing's wrong. Girl, don't try to make up for the reasons. I'd rather leave than never believe.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Don't you cry.
Enjoyed hearing from Pete. But moving from turkey hunting, going to move over and talk a little bit about the Lions Club and a bass tournament on Lake Robinson coming up here in 2 weeks. And it's good to have Allison from Greer CPW back on the line with me. Allison, good afternoon.
Hey, Roger. How are you? Thanks for having us.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for being on. You got a fishing tournament coming up on Lake Robinson. We're going to talk a little bit of that just in a moment. But I want you to talk just for a minute, and this is kind of... I mean, you're the CPW media person, right?
Yeah.
And you're and you're the Lions Club media person now too.
Yes, I was kind of voluntold to do it.
Well, this is something you do because you enjoy it, I'm sure. But tell us a little bit about your chapter, which is the Greer Centennial Lions Club, and what the Lions Club does, and then we'll talk about the fishing tournament.
Great. Well, the Greer Centennial Lions Club, we were just chartered in June of last year. So we are a very new club. We have the same mission as the Lions Club. We just like to serve our community the best way that we can.
Okay.
A lot of folks may recognize the Lions Club with helping folks with eyesight conditions, helping them purchase a seeing eye dog or buy glasses or go for an eye exam. But we help in a variety of other ways.
Okay.
But what we are doing, we're hosting this fishing tournament to raise money. We want to purchase a glaucoma screening machine that we can use during Family Fest in Greer. So we're really excited about the upcoming fishing tournament. A lot of folks may remember a fishing tournament that was held on Lake Robinson. It was under Greer Family Fest.
That's right.
It was held for 20 years.
Yes.
So a lot of those old timers are probably very familiar, but no, we're just going to bring it back under a new name to raise money for the Lions Club.
How much does a glaucoma machine cost? It
costs about $6,000, and we've received a grant already that will help us pay for half of it.
Great.
So we're trying to raise about $3,000.
Well, there you go. If you're listening out there, if you even if you don't want to fish a bass tournament, the Centennial Lions Club in Greer would love to have your contribution so they can get the machine mm-hmm. to offer a vision screening at the Family Fest. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited to continue growing our club. We're a younger club. I mean, I'm 33, and so we're kind of trying to break the mold that the Lions Club is just for old, retired people. We meet during lunch at Mutt's every second and fourth Tuesday of the month. So anyone who's interested in joining the Lions Club, we certainly encourage them to do that. The mayor of Greer, Rick Danner, he's in our club. We have a lot of police officers. We have an eye ophthalmologist, he's in our club. So it's a wide variety of people that are involved with it.
And you picked a good place to have lunch meetings. I mean, who doesn't love the Mutt's buffet at lunch?
Hey, and guess what? Mutt's is providing food for the fishermen the day of the tournament.
There you go.
Yes.
So you can go to a meeting and get it and go get it at the tournament too.
You're right. We figured we would hook them with barbecue. I mean,
sure.
If they weren't interested in the $1,000 big fish and $1,000 first place, we figured we'd hook them with free barbecue.
And you know, you can get any guy to do most anything with good barbecue.
Hey, that's what I hear.
Well, April 14th, 2018, Lake Robinson, going to have a little fishing tournament. Take us through what people need to do to get involved to fish. The activities going on afterwards and just how they can get involved.
Great. Yeah. So the registration is $100 a boat. That's for two fishermen. Okay. And that basically covers a really awesome t-shirt that we've been working on designing and your food for Mutt's, as well as a door prize, which thanks to you, I think every fisherman's going to walk away with something that day. So honestly, they could be making their money back.
Yeah, they could. I know a couple of good guys. I won't take any credit for it, but both of them at the same time, practically the same time, Andy Montgomery and Randy Howell said, "Hey, do you need any tackle?" And I'm like, "Well, need to me is, you know, it might sit there and collect dust for a couple of months." I said, "But, you know, I do have a cause here, the Lions Club fishing tournament," and both of them, man, they just packed up, and I guarantee you each one of those $200 from each of those guys in tackle and stuff. And I've still got another box for you of things that I've got. So, yeah, I mean, you may not make the $100 back totally, but between a good T-shirt and some goodies and a swag bag, it's going to come close.
You're right. And so we're hoping that these fishermen who are familiar with Lake Robinson mm-hmm. or those that aren't even familiar but just love to come out and support a good cause will come out on April the 14th. Like I said, $100 to register. Applications are due April the 6th.
Right.
We're going to take applications up until the day of, but you'll have to pay an additional fee.
Okay.
So just try and get them in as early as you can. You can go online to the Greer Centennial Lions Club Facebook page or greercpw.com, and applications are there. We're doing the paper format this year.
Okay.
We may go electronic next year.
Okay.
But if you want to pick up a paper copy, you can print it off from online, greercpw.com, or the Greer Centennial Lions Club Facebook page.
Yeah.
We also have them at the Lake Robinson Warden's office and at Greer CPW. So, and a lot of the bait and tackle joints around Greer. The multiple opportunities to pick up one.
Boat's got to be 18 feet or smaller and 10 horsepower or less, which is just Lake Robinson regulations.
You got that right.
Blast off 7:15 a.m. I love blast off with a 9-horsepower motor. Man, a lot different from what I'm used to. I'm still trying to find a boat so I can fish this. I don't know if I'll make it or not, but it's something that I'm trying to get to. But at 3:00 weigh-in, and then you have a post-tournament picnic.
Right. So that's when they're going to get their door prizes, and they'll get Mutt's barbecue. We've got some great awards already made up for the biggest fish and first place, and we'll give out the money. But Fishers of Men, they're going to be handling our weigh-in. So I think they'll be putting on a good show for us. And we'll also have some cornhole games and It's a game called Can Jam. You're trying to throw the Frisbee into this bucket. So we've got some games going on throughout the day that if anyone who wants to come for the weigh-in, they can come and hang out,
okay,
talk to some of the Lions Club members.
Okay.
We've also got some boys from Trail Life. They're going to be coming to help us with the games.
Okay.
They'll be out there just trying to get some service hours in. So it'll be kind of a community day of sorts as we see how this first year goes for us for our tournament.
Right. Now, if somebody wanted a shirt, if somebody wanted to come be in the picnic, is that an option for people that aren't actually fishing the tournament?
Not really.
Okay.
They can get a t-shirt.
All right.
The food is just going to be for the fishermen.
Okay.
Because CPW, we don't allow sales at the park.
Gotcha.
So if they're interested in getting a t-shirt, they'll just need to contact me ahead of time.
And they're cool t-shirts. I saw the, you sent me the photo of the t-shirt. It's going to be a pretty cool t-shirt. Good designer.
Yeah. And we encourage the fishermen to wear that throughout the day just so we can recognize them when we're taking photos out on the lake.
Okay.
And then the folks that are sponsoring us, they get some good publicity out of it too, which the community has been very supportive of our first year. So we're very excited about that.
Very good. Well, like Allison said, you can find applications for entry around the bait tackle stores, CPW, on the Greer Centennial Lions Club webpage. I'll be getting with you first of the week, get you all this stuff. If I can get any more, if you need help with something else, please don't hesitate to text or call me. And we'll make this first year a good one and look forward to doing more next year.
That sounds great. Thank you guys for all your support. We really do appreciate it.
You're welcome, Miles. And talk to you soon.
Okay. Sounds great.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You.
Mm-hmm. So there, if you're around the upstate area or even further down and you've got one, what they call a reservoir boat, 14, 15, 16, 17 feet, 10 horsepower or less. You know what kind of boat I'm talking about. It's fun. Robinson's got some good fish in it. Beautiful setting right there at the foot of the mountains and all. I'm sure they'll have all the food set up there at the pavilion. Just a really neat place. If you've never been to Lake Robinson, I encourage you to go up there. It's free to get in. They got paths you can walk, a picnic shelter you can rent. They've got a couple of docks you can fish off of. You have to have a license for Robinson. I think they're $5. And it's good for a year. So just another place here in the upstate that's kind of a little jewel. And I hope you'll get behind this. If you want to make a contribution to the Lions Club to help them get their machine, then, please do it. It's a good cause. And let's see. I think I'm going to get in the last little bit of the calendar here. If you're into sailing, every year there's a big thing in Charleston called Charleston Race Week. This year it's April 12th through the 15th. And we're not talking the little sailboats. We're talking these are the racing regatta people. Pretty cool thing. Goes on every year. Viewer's guide. If you want to go take a look at what goes on here and see the race, White Point Gardens on the Charleston Peninsula. Dimitri Park on James Island is another good vantage point where you can see some of the races. Let's see, where else here? Charleston Maritime Center, right there on the peninsula, is a good one. And you can follow the action at CharlestonRaceWeek.com and their YouTube channel. And let's see here now. Yeah, just a cool time. Charleston Race Week, April 12th through the 15th, if you want to go on the coast and enjoy the spring on the coast. So hang on. Who knows what we'll get to next segment. It's my time now. So more Woods and Water, South Carolina on the other side.
All the air is dust in the wind. Same old song.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. That springtime weather out there will make you think you can't drive 55. It is, it looks like it's, keep your shoelaces crossed or whatever, but it looks like springtime weather is here, and maybe it's here to stay. At least I don't think we're going to have any more of the 30s and cold and rainy 40s during the daytime. I hope so. Last thing on the calendar, navigating and signaling course. This is hosted by the Woodrunner School of Self-Reliance down here in Clinton, South Carolina. It's Saturday, April 14th from 10 to 4:30. Map and compass when you're hiking is pretty infallible, if you know how to read it, as opposed to an app on your phone that, you know, you might not be able to get coverage or might get thrown off or need an update and you can't update it so it works right. So just another opportunity for you to get out there and make sure that when you're hiking and all that you're safe, you know what you're doing. So it's April the 14th from 10 to 4:30, intro to land navigation and signaling course. Difficulty level is easy to moderate. Basic skills covered, learn map and compass reading basics, easy to remember tools to prevent you from getting lost in the first place. Learn easy to remember concepts such as deliberate offset, handrails, leapfrogging, and backstops. So the Woodrunner School of Self-Reliance is the place to get that. And it was a lot, but it's still just scratching the surface of all the things you can do to get involved in the outdoors here in South Carolina, especially in the spring. Let's see. I've got some congratulations to talk about here. The Department of Natural Resources held their sixth annual Youth Bass Fishing Championship at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic last Saturday in Columbia. Had about 90 boats from 51 schools around the state. Fished Lake Murray. And they gave out checks, scholarships, tons of fishing equipment, rods, reels, tackle bags, stuff like that. So pretty cool thing. Biggest fish, middle school, was Patrick Camp from Ralph Chandler at 3.8 pounds. High school was Clay Taylor from Woodruff with 7-pounder, which tells me the fish on Lake Murray were starting to spawn last weekend. Two-man teams, middle school, Jason Locklear and Dawson Whittle from Lexington. Second place, Josh Upton and Jake Brown from Broome. Third place, Carson Petty and Gavin Lynch from Southside. Two-man teams, high school, Caleb Chastine and Jamison Cummings from White Knoll. Second place, Noah Jones and Manning Feldner from Conway. And third place, Clay Taylor and Cole Taylor from Woodruff. Overall school finishes, middle school, third place, Broome with 10.3. Second was Southside with 11.19. And first place, Lexington with 15.46. And in the high school, third place was South Florence with 24.03. And I think South Florence won the Bassmaster High School tournament that went on the weekend before, if I'm not mistaken. And they took the National High School Bassmaster title at Kentucky Lake last June. So South Florence has got a fishing team. Second place, Bowling Springs with 26.28. And first place overall high school was Woodruff with 27.17. So congratulations to all those kids. Not only the kids, thank you to the parents, grandparents, the boat captains, everybody that was there to help make a day happen for them out on the water. Big tournament in Sumter, South Carolina, the South Carolina NASP. A state tournament was held Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Tuesday was elementary school shot. Wednesday was the high school, and Thursday was the middle school. And let's see where I want to start here. And they shot Bullseye, which is the square targets with the rings in it, and they shot the IBO 3D, which is, a ram, whitetail, pronghorn, coyote, and a turkey. Did I get those right? Five of them? I'll get a text here from my daughter in a second if I was wrong, because she shot both of them. But I think it's five targets, and they range from 15 to 10 yards away. The center shot is either 10 yards, 10 meters, or 15 meters. So let's see, elementary school division, team standings, IBO, Lakewood Elementary was first, LaFrance Elementary was second, and third was Blaney Elementary. Carolina Warriors, which is right up here in Spartanburg, was fifth, and the Upstate Hurricanes were sixth. And the elementary Bullseye division, Lakewood Elementary School was first, Blaney Elementary School was second, Somerville Catholic School was third, and UHC was down here, I don't know, third, eighth, ninth, something like that, eighth or ninth. And Upstate Homeschool Hurricanes is where my daughter shoots, so that's why I'm covering this a lot like I do. I love the NASH program. It's a good program for a lot of kids. Let's see, that's high school. So high school, the IBO 3D championship, Upstate Homeschool Hurricanes, first place. Pendleton High School, second place. Carolina Warriors homeschool team, third place. The team standings for Bullseye, first place. Upstate Homeschool Hurricanes, Second place, Carolina Warriors homeschool archery team, and third place, White Knoll High School. Middle school, IBO 3D. Carolina Warriors homeschool first place, Upstate Hurricanes homeschool second place, Riverside Middle third place. And in the Bullseye division, Riverside Middle School was first place, Carolina Warriors homeschool second place, and Leslie M. Stover Middle School third place. So, wow, a lot of kids shooting a lot of arrows at a lot of targets, both square and in the shape of animals. And it was just a great time. And hats off to DNR. Kim Leverich, this is her last go-around. She's retiring. She has done a marvelous job this program. She and Ryan Bass. Ryan has moved on to the International Bow Hunting Organization and runs their IBO 3D division. They kind of headed it up, but they've got the support of all the DNR people. I mean, there were so many wardens there, so many people in green, lane judges, announcers. You got to hand it to the Department of Natural Resources. They really are involved in the NAS program. They do a great job at it. Now, you wouldn't believe this unless you've heard about it. a dog rescued a man down in Buford who's in the water. This is a cool story now. Mason Ringer owes Woody a steak, and Woody would likely appreciate the gesture, though. He is reportedly a fan of bologna. He also likes climbing trees and at one point was trained to sit when hearing a C strummed on a ukulele. Oh, but as he watched from a decrepit dock as Ringer struggled in the choppy 58-degree waters of the Okotee River, Woody would not sit. He did jump, and he likely saved Ringer's life. I'm going to buy that dog a big old steak, Ringer said Thursday afternoon, and this story is from March 22nd. And this particular story is from the Island Packet, courtesy of Wade Livingston. Ringer, 24, Buford, was one of three men who found themselves in chilly waters near Oldfield and Camp St. Mary after their John boat capsized, according to a Buford County Sheriff's Office report. All three survived, which first responders say is miraculous. And while Ringer's rescue was the feel-good moment of the day, no one seemed to know much about the mystery dog that saved him. So on Wednesday afternoon, Ringer and two of his fellow coworkers decided to take a break and go thrill-seeking. It was around lunchtime. They piled in a boat, zipped out across the Windswept River. Moments later, when one of them tried to stand up in the boat, they found themselves in the water. Ringer headed for the dock they launched from, but was swept away. One man managed to swim across the river and walk to a nearby road where he was picked up. The third fought the current before getting stuck in a section of marsh near Oldfield's Nature Trail. A woman walking the trail thought she heard screams and called the community security office, which asked Oldfield Outfitter Center Director Jake DeBoe to investigate. It was windy on the trail, and I couldn't hear or see anything. I went to the end of the trail and was about to turn back, but there, sure enough, in the marsh, I could see something red. So they went to investigate. They found a guy stuck in the mud up to his waist in the pluff mud, very disoriented as the water temperature was very low. But saw a man standing on the dock. The dog was sticking to him like glue. Both of them were wet. Let's see. Ringer, when he got in the water, you know, when he fell over, he said he was in the water and given up trying to swim. He torn off the sweatshirt, was weighing him down, and ditched the shoes. He rolled over on his back and tried to float. Then he heard a dog bark. Seconds later, he saw Woody. He grabbed Woody's tail, and the dog towed him for a moment, but Ringer lost his grip. Woody turned around and paddled back to him, offering Ringer his collar. He pulled Ringer toward a nearby dock, yards away from the one the workers had launched from. Incredible that a dog would do something like that. Woody, here's a little background on Woody. Woody often spends his time in Savannah where his owners, the Atkinson family, lived. They had some family down in the Okotee area, though, and that's where the 7-year-old yellow lab was getting some exercise Wednesday. He likes to go to the water and pick up rocks, which I had a lab that liked to walk around with rocks. But he's gun-shy, doesn't like fireworks, and once had a tail-tucking standoff with a deer. He's got bravery other ways, Atkinson said, chuckling. The Atkinsons are Woody's third owners, having adopted him in 2011 from Omaha, Nebraska Humane Society. Wow. Here it is. Over the years, Atkinson's daughter taught Woody to recognize a C. Her son would climb trees with him, and one time they had him sedate him after running with a porcupine. But you know, hey, he's not a purebred. His nose is not completely black. He doesn't have the typical lab tail. And his web feet aren't as pronounced. But he's still a pretty good swimmer, and now he saved a guy's life. So just a feel-good story. Like I said, that's from the Island Packet down in, I think they're in Hilton Head or Beaufort, somewhere down in there. And just a really cool story. Really cool story. If you're keeping up with such things, the Sabine River Bassmaster Elite Tournament Series has been canceled. Evidently, you know, they've had a lot of rain down there, and they pushed it back for Easter tomorrow, so everybody wouldn't have to leave till Monday. So it was going to be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday tournament format. At the beginning of this week, they pushed it back, so it was going to be a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday format. And they came out yesterday and said, we're just canceling the tournament. So all the flooding in Texas has taken the Sabine River Elite stop out of it. They're going to try to make it up later in the year. So it's going to be bad for them to cancel a tournament. And then we had all the conservation funds were dispersed this week. We'll get to that. Story here, how walking in nature prevents depression. And we have a high school Bassmaster All-American, two of them from South Carolina. And I'll get to that next week, maybe, if I have time. But anyway, hope you enjoyed it. Hey, turkey book, so you want to hunt turkeys from Pete Rogers. You want to get involved in a bass tournament up on Lake Robinson, benefit the Lions Club, urge you to do that too. In the meantime, make time to get outside, take the back roads when you can. Don't forget that camera. See you back here next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Yes, I'm gone.